Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. An occurrence that I would encounter different places throughout my life. I remember seeing it in New York, Las Vegas, even outside Nationwide Arena in Columbus. Were people shouting in a public area on why everyone needs to turn to Jesus or else. This might be what some associate when they hear the word evangelize. And some of you have had those similar experiences. You've seen people do this, right? It's certainly what I would associate with the word proselytize. And I've always been curious about what their quote-unquote success rate is. Because I see a vast majority of people ignoring them. And even if they're walking by them and those proselytizing happen to be handing something out, it might be politely taken, but if you canvass the area, you'll see those pamphlets on the street or in a trash can not far from their location. Their announcement of Jesus tends to be loud, aggressive, and full of fear. Really, the difference between announcing a threat or a promise is the reason to believe grounded in fear. Fear with the threat of death, the threat of punishment, or is in response to a God who is gracious and merciful. What we say about our God matters, and how we point to our God matters. In our gospel lesson, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, the good news in that is Jesus is doing it, according to John the Baptist. It's not contingent upon what any of us are doing. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, period. In fact, Jesus rebukes anyone in the gospels for getting in the way. When they try to get in Jesus' way, ultimately by crucifying him to get him out of the way, he uses the cross to take away the sin of the world. And even John the Baptist calling Jesus the Lamb of God is saying something about the identity of Jesus. Because the Lamb of God contrasts with earlier biblical images of the Messiah, which is one of royal majesty. What does a lamb imply? Doesn't imply strength, does it? It's weakness. And what would they associate the lamb with? A Passover lamb. Not powerful, but sacrificial. And we know that people in Jesus' day had issues with that kind of image for Messiah. Quite frankly, there are Christians today that have issues with that image for Messiah, that of a lamb. In our brokenness, we want a warrior that can dominate the world, but that's not what we get with Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We get a sacrificial lamb in Jesus, and to the world, that seems like a weak and powerless God. But John the Baptist offers a witness about Jesus that points to hope for the world and the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, is that what we think about when we hear words like witness and evangelism? Because personally, I think of those awkward and uncomfortable encounters with people that can sadly be filled with judgment and hate in the name of love. In the name of Jesus. But we are called to bear witness to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And we're called to share how this God has intersected with our story and how we are part of God's story of salvation. And like John the Baptist, we tell others how we see the God of love present in our lives and in the world. Because our Lord invites us to come and see. This is a journey, a relationship that our God invites us into. And early Christians would bring their loved ones to meet the Messiah. I love what Andrew says to his brother Peter. We have found the Messiah. You can sense the joy in his voice. The joy and excitement in that invitation that he wants to share something that has brought him some sense of fulfillment and excitement, and that he wants to share that with his brother. Now, I will say, too, that people here found, and Jesus doesn't get lost, right? We're the ones that get lost, right? The reason they even bump into him is, especially you go to John's gospel, is because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In our lives, we will bump into the one who comes to us. And it may seem like we found him, but he always finds us. But that invitation was out of joy and excitement, not out of fear. You don't see any fear here. There is no mention of hell, no mention of damnation, but joy in having the Messiah revealed to them and wanting to abide with them. Now, I have come to, it's a steep learning curve as a parent, but when you share something and anything as a parent, when I ask my children to do something out of obligation, you would be surprised how not excited they are to do it, right? If I share anything or invite them to do something out of obligation, they don't want to do it. And that should be a lesson to us. Not communicating the things in our life that bring us joy. Or when it comes to Jesus, if we're not sharing the joy of what Jesus and a relationship with Christ does for us, and instead communicate obligation to church stuff, that might get people to commit for a time, but not grounded in a joyful witness, some never understand what all the fuss is about. I don't blame them. Sure, a wedding might take place in a church building, baby might be baptized, but if it is done to make us happy and it's not an invitation in sharing why a relationship with the living God and the promise of God that we have in the sacraments is transformational and makes all the difference in our lives, then we miss an opportunity. And in those instances, we're not pointing to an angry God like those on the street corners. But we're not also not pointing to Jesus. We're pointing to ourselves. Worship centered in word and sacrament is the source and summit of Christian life. We see elements of that in our gospel lesson today. Hints of baptism. Peter is transformed. The Lamb of God points to death and resurrection. Our gospel lesson describes in many ways aspects of our worship, our liturgy that's centered in word and sacrament. That when we gather here, what are we pointing to? Who are we pointing to around these means of grace? And when John the Baptist speaks of baptism, when we are baptized, we are joined to the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in holy baptism, we receive a new identity and name. When we gather for worship around word and sacrament, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is present with us. We gather to hear God's promises. We gather to hear God's story in the Word and then receive that promise, knowing that we are incorporated into God's story in the Word and in the sacraments. That is our witness. That is how we evangelize, with joy and love. God has done all these things for us. We can share with joy and love. God is doing all these things for us. We can share with joy and love, not with fear, threats, or guilt. One of my favorite jokes about Lutherans is that we feel guilty for not feeling guilty. So guilt isn't going to work anyway. We certainly encourage people. We certainly support them wherever they are in life's journey. But our witness and invitation must be grounded in that joy and excitement that we are experiencing with the living God in the church and in the world. To come and see God's divine love present here and pouring out in our community. We certainly want to be Christ-like, but we must understand that our role as ministers of the gospel is to be like John the Baptist and Andrew and simply point to Jesus. Point to where we see the God of love in our life and in the world, because we know that Jesus promises to be present in a particular way when we gather here for worship around word and sacrament. This isn't something you've heard me say many times. It's not a have to. It's what we get to do. It's what we get to experience, what we get to receive, what we get to be reminded of each time we gather here together as church. And we bring all that we have going on in our lives here. All of it. Our joy, our sorrow, our grief and our pain, the things we want to celebrate, the things we lament, we bring that all here. And when we hear how the Word of God intersects with what is going on in our lives today, we walk away knowing that God has spoken to us. And when we receive Christ in Holy Communion, we walk away knowing that we have been fed and nourished and are sent into the world not to keep this to ourselves, but to share what has been revealed to you with others in word and deed. So we do not preach fear at street corners, but we share the love of Jesus in our relationships. Because it's not about sharing just information about Jesus. It's about inviting people into a relationship with Jesus. So may our story, joined to God's story of salvation, always point to the good news of the Lamb of God who is here among us and takes away the sin of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.